Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning. You are on the Eddie Jones Talk Show, the Eddie Jones Talk Show. This is my debut show, and I just want to say a great big hello to everybody out there, no matter where you are, whether you're in the United States of America or if you're abroad somewhere around the world. Maybe you're in Australia, maybe you're in Africa. Wherever you're listening right now, you're on the Eddie Jones Talk Show. Look, I'm the president of the Los Angeles Civil Rights Association, and we talk about civil, human, and constitutional rights. Human rights are very important. We'll be talking about a lot of different topics on this show. We won't always be talking about civil rights. Sometimes we might talk about entertainment. Sometimes we might talk about legal issues. Sometimes we might talk about constitutional issues. We might have some great interviews. We will have great interviews. I'm looking forward to having some comedians on the show, some entertainment people on the show, some lawyers on the show. All kinds of people are going to be on the show. So what I want you to do is I want you to get comfortable this Monday, wonderful, beautiful Monday morning on July 28, 2014. And I want you to just think about our topic for today. Our topic for today is police brutality. Police brutality is, it's really high on the Richter scale right now. It's been a lot of police brutality going on. And, you know, and this is a really, really hot topic. We're going to have a special guest on the show. We're going to have some special guests on the show, and we're going to have people calling in. Feel free to call in. You know the number to call in if you want to chime in on what we're talking about today. The phone number to call in is area code 323-642-1569. 323-642-1569. I want to give a shout-out to my Facebook family. I want to give a shout-out to all my Dorsey family. I want to give a shout-out to all my family, and everybody who's listening in on the show. And if you are listening to the show right now, please tell a friend, text a friend, put it up on your Facebook page, put it up on your Twitter page, shoot some stuff to Instagram. It's all good. Let's use this electronic technology to make sure that we get everybody in tune with what we're going to be talking about. We're also going to have a pastor in the future on our show to talk about church and where people are going as far as church is concerned. We're going to talk about, again, the entertainment industry. We're going to even talk about our wonderful and fabulous President Barack Obama, and we're going to talk about so many different things. We're even going to have a show about illegal immigration so people can call in and share their feelings about how they feel about illegal immigration, and we're also going to talk about, you know, this whole thing going on with the water thing. You know, you can't use too much water. You got to, if they catch you using too much water, they'll fine you $500. We're going to talk about so much. So I need you, the public, to chime in today and call in and allow your voices to be heard and your opinions to be heard about how you feel about police brutality. Let me just share a few things with you that has transpired in the last couple of months or weeks. First of all, a young lady by the name of Marlene Pinnock was walking on the 10 freeway on July the 1st, 2014. And if you ask me, her due process rights were violated because the highway patrol officer came up to her from behind. And I got to tell you, if somebody walked up to me from behind and tapped me on my shoulder or grabbed me, I think I would kind of be startled and looking forward to defending myself. Well, from what I understand what happened, from what I've seen from the video, and you can look at it too, it's on YouTube, he walked up behind her and he grabbed her shirt, and of course, the next thing I saw, he's on top of her, wailing on her, beating her. It was terrible. All I could see is his fist flying up and hitting her directly in her face. First of all, I've been raised, and I'm sure lots of you have, you don't hit a woman, period, end of story. Second of all, if someone has a mental illness, and that's another topic on one of our shows that we're going to talk about, because when Ronald Reagan was president of the United States of America, he shut down all the mental institutions that were able to help people who have mental problems. So if you have a mental problem and all the institutions are shut down, where do you go? Where do you go for help? Well, here's what they did instead. They let someone arrest you and put you in a 72-hour hold, and they medicate you, and then 72 hours later, they let you back out on the streets. Well, that's not helping the situation, okay? That's not helping people who have bipolar syndrome, paranoid schizophrenia, mental retardation, or any other mental illnesses that are going on in our streets right now. And I'm sure if you look around your neighborhood somewhere, you're going to see somebody that has a mental illness that needs help. Well, you don't help a woman that's walking down the freeway by beating her half to death. And I was very disappointed with that CHP officer, and I'm quite sure lots of people, after seeing that video go viral, were very, very upset at this CHP's actions. First of all, he needs extensive training. Second of all, he shouldn't have handled it that way. And I was very happy when the other officer came up and actually, kind of like, hey, dude, okay. So he stopped wailing on her at that time, and they arrested her. But the beating that she took was just terrible, okay? So if you want to call in and talk about that, chime on in and call in and let's talk. Also, I just want to touch on Eric Garner. Eric Garner was the young man who was in New York, and I guess the police said he was selling cigarettes on the street. Okay, so what? You're selling cigarettes on the street. Is that a reason to die? No, it's not. They choked Eric Garner, and you can hear his voice if you look at the video. It's on YouTube. Eric Garner, he was killed by the police in New York. He was choked to death with a chokehold. Look, the chokehold has been banned for 25 years. Banned, okay? The chokehold was banned 25 years ago. What in the world? What in the world is this officer doing choking this man to death with a chokehold, which was banned 25 years ago? Oh, well, a lawsuit, a big lawsuit. And I guess that's the best way to teach these people a lesson, is to get into their pockets and also to have them change their policies and procedures and how they do their policing. On the door it says to serve and to protect, not to choke someone to death because they're selling cigarettes. I thought that if you're selling cigarettes or breaking the law on the streets, you actually get a ticket and you go to court, and then you go and see a judge, and then you have due process, and you get to talk to the judge about whatever it is, and then if it's a fine or a penalty, then you're penalized then, okay, while you're under oath, okay? Not on the streets by a police officer who doesn't have the authority to just kill you because you're selling cigarettes. I have a problem with that. Well, let's talk about Oscar Grant, and you know the story. Oscar Grant was at the Fruitvale Station in Northern California. The young man was handcuffed. I don't even understand why they hadn't handcuffed any of the young men. But while he's handcuffed, laying flat on his stomach, he was shot in the back by the police officer. No, it shouldn't happen. That is police brutality. What in the world was that officer thinking when the young man is already laying on his stomach, handcuffed, helpless, and all of a sudden the police officer's gun goes off and shoots him in the back? No, 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 wrong. Can you say lawsuit? But we still can't bring Oscar Grant back. It's terrible. Another young man was in Northern California, and my heart goes out to his mother, Danica. If you're listening, Danica, God bless you, Danica Chapman. Her son was shot and killed in Northern California because they said that his bus, his train ticket, or it has something to do with his train ticket. But usually when you get on the train, if your ticket is not valid or they think it's not valid, then they give you a ticket, and then you go to court. They don't shoot you four or five times and kill you in front of everybody. It's on videotape. That, too, is on YouTube. So I'm just touching on some of the police shootings that have taken place that are illegal. Okay, I'm not saying that all officers are bad, because there's not. There's some very good officers out there to do a very good job. But some of these officers, the ones who do these type of shootings, are not good officers, and they don't need to be on the force. They don't need to be patrolling our streets if they can't respect human life. Human beings such as you and me have rights. We have our constitutional rights. We have our amendment rights. We have our civil rights. But most of all, over all of those, we have our human rights. And if we're being shot in the back and then they turn you over and they find a cell phone like they did Woodrow Player Jr. over in Athens off of Imperial, he was shot to death by the sheriff's department, and they said he had a gun, and when they found out, he had a cell phone in his hand. It wasn't a gun. He never had a gun. They never found the gun. I just want to give a shout-out to my very good friend, Alan Devalina. His son was shot and killed in Palm Springs. He went over and served in the Marines, and his name is Corporal Alan A.J. Devalina II, and he was shot and killed by the Palm Springs police. And I don't understand. I mean, he's in his car leaving. You know, now, he went over and served in the Middle East. He served our country. Never got a scratch on him. The Palm Springs police officers, Mike Heron and Chad Nordman, opened fire and murdered an innocent and unarmed U.S. Marine veteran on November the 10th, 2012. And let me tell you something, his family is never going to be the same. I was there with him. I've been working on the case with him. And I'm going to tell you something, it was just terrible. Why in the world, if you're in your car with your windows rolled up, you can't hear somebody, two police officers on a bicycle. All of a sudden, they come up on a bicycle, and next thing you know, one of the officers had dived in through the passenger window, and for some kind of reason, his gun went off, fatally shooting and killing Corporal Alan A.J. Devalina, who was just home on a leave from the military. No, wrong. Can you say bad officers, Mike Heron and Chad Nordman? My heart goes out to the Devalina family. You guys know I love you very much. My heart goes out to Oscar Grant's family, Woodrow Player's family, Eric Garner's family. You know, I looked at the picture with Eric Garner, and he's standing there like a gentle giant, and he's with his wife and his two daughters and his son, and it really brought tears to my eyes. It brought tears to my eyes. I want to give a shout-out to Cesar Cruz, who was killed by the Anaheim Police Department. Cesar Cruz, and bless his family. I want to give a shout out to Michael Nida II, who was shot and killed on 10/22/11 by the Downey police. Downey police killed him. Yeah. And I also want to give a shout out to Ignacio Ochoa, who was shot and killed by the police in the city of Anaheim, if I'm not mistaken. And that's just a handful of things to talk about there. Now, if you have a different opinion, please call in. And if you have an opinion or you have a loved one that has been shot and killed by the police illegally and you feel that it's illegal, I want you to call on in. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to check out and see. I look like I have some callers calling in, and I have my special guest. So I just want to take out a little time here for us to get this show, new show, on the road. I'll be here every Monday from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., and we'll be having so many different topics to talk about, so many things we're going to talk about. Like I said, we're going to do entertainment. We're going to do law. We're going to do all kinds of stuff. By the way, I'm not an attorney. I don't practice law, but I am a civil rights activist, and I am a civil rights leader, and I do believe in fighting for rights. There's just so much that we need to talk about right now. I'm still upset I'm so upset about what happened with Marlene Pinnock walking on the 10 freeway, and I'm very upset about Eric Garner, who was just selling cigarettes. I mean, come on. You got to die because you're selling cigarettes? I don't think so. I'll be right back. Take a minute out. Let's listen to a little James Brown just for a moment while we get our heads right.
Let's get together and raise. Let's get together and land. Raise our boots like the man. Save our money like the mom. We're up like the dog.
Hello, Miss Pearl, are you there?
Hi.
Hi, Miss Pearl. How are you? Miss Pearl, can you hear me? Miss Pearl, welcome to the show. Are you there?
Hi, good morning. I'm here.
How are you, Miss Pearl?
I am fine. And yourself?
I'm doing wonderful. We're talking about police brutality, and I want to thank you so much for putting this great Faces of Success radio show together here. You want to talk a little bit about what you do?
You kind of caught me off guard here.
That's okay.
Basically, what I would like to do, you have a caller calling in from the 323 area code, and I would like to take that caller, if that's okay.
Yes, that would be wonderful. Yes.
Okay, we have a caller from 323. Caller, you're live.
Hello.
Yes, hello. Ms. Jones?
How you doing, Eddie Jones?
Ms. Jones, how are you?
I'm doing okay.
Well, first of all, welcome to the show. Welcome to the Eddie Jones Talk Show. Ms. Jones, how are you feeling today?
I'm doing okay. Blessed. How are you? What about yourself?
I'm doing wonderful. It's a beautiful day. Did you hear about some of the things that I was just talking about? Well, first of all, I was talking about Oscar Grant, who was shot in the back while he was handcuffed. I was talking about Woodrow Player Jr., which I worked on his case, and he was shot and killed, and they found a cell phone in his hand after they shot him in the back, the sheriffs. And, of course, Eric Garner, who was killed in New York, he was choked to death with the chokehold, which has been banned about 25 years ago. And then, of course, Marlene Pinnock, who was severely beaten on the 10 freeway while she was walking on the freeway. Of course, she had a mental illness, and no matter what, nobody deserves to be beat like that. And then let's get to you, Ms. Jones. I've been working with you for the last 5 years on the wrongful death of your son, who was killed by the Sheriff's Department, John Thomas Horton III. Would you like to talk about your son?
Yes, John was murdered in the county jail in solitary confinement. He was beat to death in his cell. And they staged a suicide and tried to say, he killed himself. And all the time, they beat my son to death, with internal injuries where he bled to death. And his murder was covered up by the sheriff department. And, as you say, we've been fighting for the last 5 years to try to get justice for John. And we're still fighting.
Well, could you tell us a little bit about what's going on? Like, how did this happen? Can you just tell us a little bit about what happened? Just let the public know how you feel and what happened.
Well, like I say, John was, went to the county jail in March 2009, and he was there for 30 days, and, they hid him from me, wouldn't let me visit my son, even though I tried, numerous times to see him. And within 30 days, they beat and murdered him and tried to cover up his death. And I've been trying to fight for the last 5 years, you know, to get justice for him. And I lost, you know, in the first, you know, the first round, and that was in Superior Court. You know, I had to appeal it, and, you know, we, as you say, we've been working on it for 5 years, so we just won the appeal. And right now we're waiting on the trial date, you know, to have our day in court. And, you know, and that's all we wanted was just to have our day in court and to prove that he was murdered and, you know, he didn't take his own life.
And you know what, Ms. Jones? I will never forget the day when we went to the County Board of Supervisors. And do you remember that day?
Yes, I do.
And I don't want to elaborate too much because the case is still pending and going on, but what a day it was at the County Board of Supervisors, and I'll never forget the look on everybody's face when we described exactly what happened to your son. And I just want to let you know, Ms. Jones, God bless you and the family. I love you guys very much. And you know what? Justice will be served.
Yes,
Ms. Jones?
I believe so.
And I would like to, could you give a little shout-out to your attorneys that's working on your case right now?
Yes, to Dennis Wilson Law Group and Anthony Lutu Law Firm. You know, I really just thank God that they believed in this case. You know, I know it sounded crazy from the beginning because, you know, people don't believe that officers will beat and kill people, but it's true, you know, and I'm just glad that they believed in this case, you know, because did nobody believe me, you know, when it first happened. So I'm just glad that they did believe me, you know, and I'm glad that you believe me too, you know, and you've seen what happened. You've seen all the scars on him, you know, all the outside scars that they left on him, not the scars that they hid from us, you know, to where it showed up in autopsy, you know, to where they bust his liver, they bust his kidney, you know, they bust his pancreas, broke his nose, and cleaned it up. So I'm just thankful, you know, that I had people that believed in this and believed me when I cried out, you know. I just thank God for that because, I wouldn't be where I'm at today with the case if I didn't have a few people that, just listened to me and, you know, just helped me. And I really thank you, too, for, you know, believing in my son's case.
Oh, you're welcome, Ms. Jones. And, you know, it's amazing, Ms. Jones, because we kept the press on it. We kept it on the radio. We kept it on the news. We really applied our skills and due process. We put everything into action, and God started blessing the situation. And we're not going to stop, and we're going to keep on fighting for the cause. We're going to keep on fighting for justice, and we're going to keep on doing what we need to do to make sure that these type of killings are not taking place anymore. As you can see, the 3,000 gang that was in the sheriff's department on the 3,000 roll was revealed. That's no longer. You see, Lee Baca has stepped down from his position because of all the corruption inside of the sheriff's department and within the county jails. And so it's a new day. What do you think, Ms. Jones?
Yes, I'm happy. I mean, you know, I'm just happy that, you know, that justice, you know, everybody else in there, you know, that have to go through there because, you know, everybody that go to jail, you know, haven't committed crime. You got a lot of innocent people that's going through that jail, and they don't deserve to get beat and lose their lives. And a lot of people done got beat, and a lot of people done got their life took in there and had it and it been covered up. So, you know, I just hope that my son's case shine a light on that to let you see that how many people done lost their lives in there and they done said they killed them, they done killed themselves and all the time, they was murdered. But when you got officials and people helping covering up, it's hard to get through that. That's what happened to us. You know, that's what happened to me and my family. You know, my son's death was covered up, and they tried to cover up good, but they didn't do a good job. So I just thank God, you know, for, you know, just helping with that, and I just thank God. God had his hand on John since the day he closed his eyes, and that's just how I look at it, you know. So I'm just grateful.
Well, Ms. Jones, I want to thank you so very much for your time. I want to thank you for calling in and sharing that wonderful, when I say wonderful, I'm talking about the judicial part, how good the judicial system had to adhere to what was going on. When I say wonderful, I mean justice being served. When I say wonderful, I mean you fighting the cause all the way up for the last 5 years and not giving up on what you believed in, and having a team of people such as myself and Dennis and Anthony and the public and the community to assist you and work with you and believe in your cause.
Yes, me too. I'm really grateful.
Well, Ms. Jones, God bless you. I want you to have a wonderful day. And, you know, the struggle and the fight goes on.
Thank you so much. And thank you for helping us. And thank you for even for all the work you've done in the community. We really thank you and really appreciate your help.
Well, thank you, Ms. Jones. Ms. Jones, thank you so much. And you know, if we don't stand up for something, we'll fall for everything. So I thank God, and I give God, I thank God and give him all the glory, and I thank him for allowing me to do just what I do. I wouldn't want to do anything else except for what I'm doing right now.
God, thank God.
Okay, okay, I think I have another caller here, so I'm going to take this other call. But Ms. Jones, I'll be in touch with you. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you, and God bless you, Eddie Jones. Thank you so much.
All right, God bless you.
Okay, bye.
All right. Yes, hello?
Hello?
Yes, hi. Yes,
hi.
Is this Mr. Ralph White?
Yes, correct.
How are you, Mr.
Help. Go ahead on.
How you doing, Mr. White?
I'm doing fine.
Okay, welcome to the Eddie Jones Talk Show.
Yes, I'm in California. Well, you know, I was listening to that, but we have a Department of Justice with a black attorney general. I don't think that we've been requesting enough from him as black people of what's happening to our people. We have a black president, he get in office, and we do not ask him for the things that we used to ask for when there was a white president there. So since he's the president, we should send all our stuff to the president and our attorney general so they would know about what's going on in all these different places. I just read the other day about the Klansmen down there, policemen in Florida. One thing we have to understand, everybody puts on a uniform. It's not really a person that should be in a uniform. And I mean that by trading your hat, your Ku Klux hat, for a badge in a robe. It doesn't make sense. I lost you.
I couldn't agree with you more, Mr. White. I think that we should use the Attorney General and we should write our letters, because that's one of the things that on a couple of cases that we have done, especially working with Ms. Jones' case, we did write a letter to the FBI. We took paperwork to the FBI. We took paperwork. We wrote to the city attorney. We also wrote a letter to the President of the United States of America, because you're right. We have someone in position that is able to deal with these situations. So please continue to elaborate on your feelings. Go right ahead, Mr. White.
Well, you know, sometimes we should do the things that they've been doing. We quit protesting. We do not let the public really know. I'm lost. I'm way up in Stockton, California, and Los Angeles is not that far. I've heard a lot about the jails, but that's not the owner's jail that's doing these things. When we see things like this happen as a people, we should go to the Department of Justice and protest. Why should we stay at home and run to our local FBI, who works with the police department every day and work with the sheriff department every day? And 9 times out of 10, they're white just like them. They might be a member of the same club. Just because they're an FBI does not mean that they're not members of the same club or organization. Does not mean all of them are the same. Don't get me wrong. But there are some, and they're in your same neighborhood, and they work with the police. They go out on warrant checks and all that different stuff with them. So automatically, you think they're going to go on their buddy? It's just like 3 people run up or a police come up, and one shoot them, and all 3 of them shoot the same person. Well, if I was a policeman and I come up and I shot somebody, why are you shooting? You can't be thinking what I'm thinking. Hell, I might have had some drugs last night. I don't know. I might be hallucinating, but why are you shooting them? Or why is the other policeman shooting them? And these are the things that go on when they choke the man down. I saw that on TV. Why did all the rest of them jump in on him and go with him? Eventually, you're going to choke him out. Let somebody grab anybody. That's where you kill, when they say they didn't choke somebody. That's the way you do them. You choke them until they stop breathing. You don't know when you're going to stop choking them because you ain't counting whether it's 10 seconds or 5 seconds or 2 minutes.
You know, Mr. Garner, Mr. White, you and I both know that they should not have used the chokehold on Eric Garner. The chokehold has been banned for 25 years. I did the research on it. I remember when they banned the chokehold. It's not supposed to be used at all. And for them to, if you read the history on the man, you know, Eric Garner, he was a nice, gentle guy. He wasn't a mean, bad guy. Matter of fact, I heard his last words, and it brought tears to my eyes. And that's the same thing with the young man that had a mental illness that was beat up by the Fullerton Police Department. You can hear his last words. He's saying, help me, Dad, help. Help me, Dad, please help me. He's calling for his father. I mean, come on. They beat that man so bad that when they showed his face in the hospital, you didn't even know who he was.
But could you imagine if like they had that little loop rope hanging down there, that hanging rope down in Louisiana, not too many years ago, a couple of years ago or something, thousands of people went there. Could you imagine if you call on 1,000 of people who call on people to come to D.C. on some day and we protest for 3 days in the front of the White House and in the front of the FBI office on the brutality and the things that's going on? Sometimes they know, but the rest of the world don't know. See, all these things I just heard about, all the lady get beat up by a policeman, he's still on the force. You know, you kill somebody, and then they take them off work for 3 days with pay while they investigate them, the police, and then they turn around and put them right back to work before the investigation is over. And then they say, oh, we still investigating. A year late, they still investigating, but the guy's still working. So what, you find him guilty, and what happened? The
incident in
Louisiana, where all those policemen got involved in killing that man on the bridge, you see the FBI stepped in. When the FBI, an impartial body, step in, not from that area, don't send somebody that's working with them every day and now to investigate them. Hell, let me investigate my brother or my child, and he's going to always be innocent. But even if he's guilty, he's going to be innocent because I'm doing the investigation. You think I want my loved one to hurt or my friend to be hurt? We have to use common sense. And one thing nobody can stand is a big protest in D.C., of black people coming there, you wake up the nation because everybody don't like this, including, you know, all real light-skinned Americans that we call white. I haven't seen a white person yet. I take a white piece of paper up every time I talk to somebody, and I put it next
to Mr. White.
No, but they're light-skinned Americans, the lightest light-skinned Americans we got.
Right.
We need
Mr. White,
for things like this. Yeah.
Mr. White. I took down your number, Mr. White, because you said something that I've been wanting to do and that I've been planning on doing anyway, and that's taking a large group of people, and I'm talking about hundreds of thousands, to march on Washington, D.C. against police brutality. I want to see it on the Congress floor. I want to see it in the House of Representatives. I want to do that. So I have your number here, Mr. White, and I'm going to call you when the show is over, and I'm going to add you on another list with a whole lot of other people that I have that are thinking the same way you are. But I have another caller that's been holding on for a long time.
Thank you.
I want to give everybody a chance to chime in. But, Mr. White, I want to thank you for your opinions. I want to thank you for sharing, and the best is yet to come. The work is just beginning, and we will get it done because strength runs in numbers. So I want to thank you very much, Mr. White.
Thank you.
All right. Have a good day, Mr. White. I'll talk to you real soon.
Sure, I'll be here. Bye.
Okay, all right. Yes, caller, are you there? Okay, we're going to move right on down. We're going to go on down here, and let's see if we have another caller. Let's see. Hello? Hello? Caller, are you there? Hello, caller,
yes.
Are you there? I can't hardly hear you. Are you there?
Yes. Thank you for taking my call.
Okay. First of all, you're live on the radio. You know, the whole world can hear you. Tell us your name.
My name is Jayshree.
Okay. And what's on your heart today? What's on your mind?
Well, thank you for taking my call, and God bless you for all that you do as a civil rights advocate. I do have a question, though. In your opinion, you know, what do you think is the cause of police brutality? Is it personality? Is it circumstance? Is it environment? Is it a subculture mentality within the force? What causes an officer to use excessive
force? Well, I'm going to give you my opinion because I'm quite sure there's lots of opinions on those. That's an excellent question. Here's my take on it. Some police officers used to be in the military. And when you serve in the military in a war and you shoot people and kill people every day for 30 days or 150 days, you come home and you haven't been you get desensitized, and you should come in and you should be trained on how to, you know, come back into the community and deal with people in a civil way. I think training has everything to do with it. Training is very important. But some people throw that training out the window when they have the blue flu or the good old boy syndrome or the I'm a peace officer and I can do what I want to do because I feel like I'm God. No, just because you have a peace officer status doesn't give you the right to abuse your authority. You know, a police officer on the door, like I said earlier, says to serve and to protect the community. I've heard of people calling the police to help them for their family member, and then the family member ends up shot and dead. That's wrong, wrong, wrong. So what do I feel? I feel that a lot of police officers need a lot of training in understanding people's needs. And you can go back and you can chime in on that if you'd like to. Go right ahead.
So you believe the cause of police brutality is training?
I think that it has to do with sensitivity training because everything doesn't have to end up with a gun. I think if you talk to people, you know, police officers have – let me share something with you here. Police officers have a taser. They have beanbag guns. They have plastic bullets. They have a PR-24. They have all kinds of stuff they can use before they use the other force. If you're trained to use all these weapons, and then not only that, they're also trained to use – they're trained to talk to you and find out what's going on with you. You have a little feedback in the background there. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
Hello?
Yes.
A lot of police officers are trained in sensitivity to understand the environment that they're in. I don't care if they're in Compton, Bakersfield, Hollywood, Beverly Hills, wherever they are. Everyone should be treated equally. Everyone should be treated fairly. And you are innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. So I feel that police officers need a lot more training, a lot more sensitivity training, and then they have to understand the environment and the community that they're in. And I've heard some stories. Go right ahead.
Thank you, Matt. Another question?
Yes, you may.
Okay. What type of advice do you have for the victims' families that have suffered at the hands of police brutality? And also, what will you do to resolve the problem of police brutality?
Well, I think that people I think that people who have lost their loved ones to police brutality, honestly, I think that they should get together and exchange phone numbers, and they should have group discussions together, and they should bond together and talk to each other because they're all dealing with the same thing. I mean, when you lose your loved one and it comes Christmas and Thanksgiving and birthdays and holidays, that is so hard. And I think that all the groups and all the families should come together and work together to help each other get through this. And if you need counseling to see a counselor, I think they should see a counselor. If you need to see a psychiatrist, please see a psychiatrist. Whatever it takes to ease your mind, to make you feel better about what you're going through, that's really important because sometimes people allow this to stay inside of them and they never get any help for it and they end up being a walking time bomb. So I think that people should, the families should bond together, exchange information, email addresses, Facebook and all that, and then talk to each other and work together because it's all for the same common cause, getting justice and revitalizing and rehabilitating their families and their minds and kind of try to move on with life.
Thank you. And what will you do to resolve police brutality?
Well, to resolve police brutality, we have to get something in order. We need to get a bunch of signatures, and we need to put something into legislation that has officers to be held accountable for their actions, whether it's the Rodney King beating or whether it's the Marlene Pinnock beating or the Eric Garner choking or the Oscar Grant shooting in the back of Woodrow Player Jr. or John Thomas Horton III or Corporal Allen A.J. Devalina or Cesar Cruz or any of the guys that I've named that have all been shot and killed by police officers. The way to get change is if everybody works together as a unit. No backstabbing, no backbiting. Just everybody has to work together for the same cause. It doesn't matter what color you are. It doesn't matter what your ethnicity is. It doesn't matter what your religion is. It matters that everybody that's involved, no matter whether what color they are, they lost a loved one, and their loved one was shot and killed by a police officer the wrong way, and they should all work together to get justice and to get change and to revitalize and rehabilitate the family's feelings about these type of activities that take place.
Thank you.
I want to thank you, too. And if I'm not mistaken, is this Ms. Joan Marie Mellon?
Yes.
Well, I want to thank you for calling in. Aren't you a paralegal?
Yes.
Okay. Would you like to tell people a little bit about what you do? I mean, I'm just going to, since you're a paralegal and you do, can you help some of these families?
Yes. We can help the families.
Okay, well, if you have an email address, could you share an email address for people to reach out to you to get some help if they need some help?
Sure. It's ca.court.farm@gmail.com.
Okay, could you repeat that one more time, Ms. Mullen?
ca.court.farms@gmail.com.
Okay, I have another caller holding on. I just can't thank you enough for calling on and asking the questions and then sharing with everyone. And you do a great job with your paralegal work, and I know you have a lot of cases and that you help a lot of people. So, you know, I look forward to working with you, Ms. Joan Mullen.
Thank you, and God bless you.
God bless you, and you have a wonderful, wonderful day, okay?
You too.
All right, thank
Goodbye.
You. All right, bye-bye. Let's see here. I think we have another caller. Hello, caller, are you there? Caller, are you there? Okay. All right, let's go to another. Let's see. Caller, are you there? Caller, are you there? Okay, so I guess we missed that caller. Let's go on down here. We have another caller here. Let's see what we're let's go right here.
Got it.
Hello, caller. You're on the air. Are you there?
I'm here.
Yes, hi. Could you introduce yourself?
Yes. Hi, Eddie Jones. This is Basic.
Basic, how are you, young man?
Hey, I'm okay, man. I'm just calling, you know, to let you know how
I hear a lot of noise.
Basic,
there's something going on in the background. Could you turn that, it's some extra noise. Could you turn that down?
Little
feedback there. That's okay. Little feedback. Okay, so Basic, go right ahead, man. What's on your mind, bro?
Hey, you, man. How you serve the community? You know, you're good in what you do, man. And you know, you serve the truth. And I like how you speak up for my family, John Thomas Horton III. And you know, I appreciate that.
Man. Man, Basic, man, I can't thank you enough for calling in, man. And how's everything going with you, man? How are you, I mean, coping with everything that's gone on with John and everything and your family? How are you doing?
Oh, man, I'm doing good, you know, still holding up, you know. It's hard, but, you know, I'm still holding up, you know, I'm here. You know, we trying to fight through this. And, you know, you already know we already won, you know, a couple of things and, man, it's going well right now. You know, justice is being served, and that's all that matters, you know?
And also, Basic, don't you do music and aren't you, don't you do engineering in the studio and stuff like that?
Yeah, man, I engineer, I produce, I rap, I songwrite, you know, do everything.
And
I do
have a copy of the song, the rap song, and the march, the protest that we did over at the Men's Central Jail, and you turn that into a song and a video, and it's on iTunes, right?
Yeah, it's going to be out soon. It's out there. There's a video on YouTube. You can check it on YouTube. Just type in John Thomas Horton Memorial.
I saw that, and I'm actually in it, and I want to thank you for allowing me to be in that video.
Oh, man, it's no problem. It's all love. It's family. You know, you've been here from the beginning. So
I want to thank you, Basic. Is there something that you want the public to know out there about police brutality or how you feel? You want to have some closing remarks before we go on to the next caller?
Well, what I feel about police brutality is not good. You know, you have good cops, you have bad cops, but when you have a gang of cops, you know, that's not good. And when they beating on, you know, innocent people, no matter what they in the place for or whatever the case may be, how they feel about a certain person, they in there, they did what they did to have to do, you know, to get in there, but that don't mean you have to beat them or, you know, they still human, you know. You don't have to beat them like they're a child or, you know, they still human at the end of the day. And on the streets, what you were saying about the 10 freeway, how the lady was on the freeway and, you know, selling cigarettes or something like that, and the police beat her, that's going too far, you know, and that's not cool. You know, justice really needs to be served.
Well, Basic, I want to thank you for calling in and chiming in your feelings. And I also want to thank you for the compliments, and I really got to give God all the glory for allowing me to be a civil rights advocate and a civil rights leader. I really thank God for the opportunity to do exactly what I do. I look forward to seeing you and family. And, man, look, man, you have a blessed day, man, and thank you so much for calling in. And we're going to have other shows. And eventually, hey, Basic, we're going to be doing something in a couple of weeks, a couple of Mondays from now about entertainment. So I want you to call back in and talk about Head High Entertainment. How about that?
Oh, man, that sounds great. Man, I'm up for it.
Okay, well, look, man, you have a great day, man, great day, and keep up the good work. And remember, to God be the glory, and justice is what we're fighting for. Take care, all right?
All right, you too. God bless.
God bless you too. All right, bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
All right. Moving right along. Caller, are you there? Caller, are you there? Caller, you're live on the radio. Are you there?
Yes,
hi, how you doing? This is the Eddie Jones Talk Show. Who's calling?
Yes, this is Bruce. How you doing, Eddie?
Bruce, how you doing, man? What's going on, Bruce?
Oh, I'm doing all right. I have a question, you know, to comment on what I've already been listening to, you know, about police brutality, right?
Yes. Go right ahead.
Yes. And it was you were saying that we need to rally together, march on Washington, you know, and my main thing is, what about the courts? You know, because I seen the incident in, I can't say his full name, I forgot, but in Fullerton, when the guy got beat to death.
Yes, I remember that. I have that. Yes, I remember that. I met the father, too.
Okay, and my thing, you can clearly see that guy was within his rights as being a citizen out there in the street. And when the call came, when the officers came, they used excessive force, you know, causing his death. And the outcome of it played out in court. And it's more like he didn't stand a chance as far as getting justice the way they presented the case, to where those guys got off. And that's like upsetting, to where if they can get off on something like that, to where they clearly, you see the video, they clearly beat this guy to death and got off, that says we have to do more as far as marching on those courts. That's my opinion.
Well, you know what, Bruce, and I agree with you 100%, and that's why, Bruce, what we need to do is we need to put that into legislation too. We need to march on Washington. We need to change the judicial system. I've seen so many young men go to court, and I sat in the courtroom and watched them give them 20 years really for basically nothing, and they call that a deal, a plea bargain. They're giving you a deal. That's not a deal. It's not a deal. We need to change the judicial system. I see the judges when I walk in the courtroom, they walk in there all lackadaisy, and they have the authority to take your freedom away. How many people have been exonerated and vindicated for stuff that they did not do? So I agree with you. Not only should we stop the police brutality, we should also stop the corruption inside the judicial system, and that's got to be a radio show within itself. We've got to spend a whole 2 hours talking about that because I have so many families that call me to work on these cases where their sons were not really involved, and they find out later that these guys were railroaded by these public defenders who are working with the district attorney and the prosecutor.
Well, you know, just what you said, you know, I have experience in that, you know, to where I've seen how in those courts, they always give the officer the benefit of the doubt. I mean, it's good officers out there, but it's bad officers out there, too, to where I believe it shouldn't be one bad officer in the force. And to me,
right. Bruce, I just want to ask you a question. I got another caller calling in right now.
Okay.
But in your closing remarks, man, please share your closing remarks, what you want people to know about what you're talking about right now.
Okay, in the court, I've been through it to where I see a lot of things that they do in the courts to where, you know, from my experience, you know, I never been a gang member at all, you know, but from where I grew up at, just being there in that area and you get arrested, they automatic label you as a gang member or whatever just by people who you know, and if you were to get arrested for anything, they would put a charge on you. I mean, it's the police officer themselves. They would put a charge on you, and with no proof, but the courts will back them up to court, whatever they put down. And when they get in there, lies after lies, they'll lie, and you more like can't really defend yourself as far as having a public defender or this or that, to where they mostly go along with the officer to where...
Hey, Bruce, yes. Excuse me for interrupting you. You know what you call that? You call that profiling. You call it profiling, and that's what we want to stop. We want to stop any type of racial profiling. Any type of racial profiling whatsoever. It doesn't matter if you're African-American, Latino, Filipino, white, whatever, Italian. We don't want any racial profiling. So what I'm going to do, Bruce, is I'm going to try to get this other call, but I want to let you know that we're going to have a show about that, and I want you to be one of my special guests to talk about exactly what you're sharing with us right now. Is that a bet?
Okay. Oh, yeah, that's a bet.
Man, I want to thank you, Bruce, for everything that you stand for and everything that you're doing and everything that you've done. And please keep up the fantabulous work that you're doing, man. And I got your number, man, and I'm going to lock you in. And when we go to Washington, D.C., I'm sure you'll be right there, right?
Oh, yeah, I'm going to go along for that ride. Okay.
All right, man. God bless you and the family, man.
All right. Same to you. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right.
Caller, you there? Are you there, caller?
Yes, I am.
Is this Mr. Cephas Johnson?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
And you're related to Oscar Grant?
Right. I'm officially known in the community, of course, across the nation as Uncle Bobby. I am Oscar Grant's uncle. Of course,
yes, I remember you. I met you during the Michael Jackson trial when your nephew's trial was going on, and then when we marched in Sacramento at the state capitol, you were there also, if I'm not mistaken. And it's a pleasure to hear your voice. Please talk about your nephew's. What happened, and please share with the public what's going on and what has transpired since that happened.
Mr. Eddie Jones, correct? Yes. I'm Oscar Grant's uncle. He was my first nephew. His mother is my baby sister, Wanda Johnson. And, of course, when we were in L.A., as you know, they moved our trial to L.A. right next door to the Michael Jackson trial that was going on at the same time. And, of course, it was from that incident where people really began to know who Oscar was from the fact that it was right next door to the Michael Jackson case. And they, the family, decided to move their case because the Oscar Grant activists and community was so outraged for this young man, Oscar, to be been killed the way he was killed, that all the mics shift over to our family and, of course, the community in that outrage. But what happened to Oscar Grant was on January 1st, 2009, at the Fruitvale Bar Station in Oakland, California. He was profiled. He was beat, kicked. Racial epithets were used. He was called a bitch-ass nigga twice to the ground. On his stomach, hands trapped underneath his body. As he was able to get his arms from underneath his body, placed behind his back. I need to say he had 600 pounds of officer on his back. Officer Tony Peroni was on his neck, pushing his face through the concrete floor, cracking the bones in his face while he's squirming, saying he can't breathe, he can't breathe. And Tony Peroni is 6'1", 250 pounds. You could tell he had ate a lot of steroids. Johannes Mesley, who was on his back, the one that threw him to the floor in the first place, is 6'7", 270 pounds. And as Oscar was able to put his hands behind his back, crisscross, to be handcuffed, Johannes Mesley stands up, shoots Oscar in the back. Of course, the bullet goes through his body, hits the concrete, and eventually collapses a lung. And, of course, Oscar dies some hours later. Johannes Mesley says that he believed and thought that Oscar was reaching for a gun, and he mistakenly pulled his weapon instead of his taser. See, we know for a fact, without a doubt, that that was a lie. Of course, the jury bought that lie. He eventually was convicted of involuntary manslaughter and given 11 months to serve. But I need to make a few notes here so that people, the listeners, can understand. The jury did convict him of the involuntary manslaughter, but they also convicted him of the gun enhancement charge. The gun enhancement charge was an automatic 10 years. With the involuntary manslaughter, the minimum time that he should have done in prison was 12 years. However, Judge Robert Perry, who we know today as a racist judge, the gun enhancement verdict off the table because he claimed he made an error in his instructions to the juror. When he took that
Johnson, hold on a second. This is so important what you just said. And this is what the other caller, Bruce, was talking about, the judicial system and the corruption within the judicial system. Please share that statement one more time, what you just said.
Right, and it's so critical because the other caller was right on point when he talked about the judicial system in itself being corrupt. We witnessed that. So here we go. The judge claimed that he erred in his instructions to the jury on the gun enhancement charge. And therefore, if he took the gun enhancement off the table, turning our jury trial into a bench trial, and thereby sentencing Johannes Mesley to only 11 months without the gun enhancement charge. I mean, this was a total travesty to what we thought, where we had somewhat of a victory. And I think it's important to note here about the judicial figure that we had, Judge Robert Perry, who was also over the Rampart case. And the listeners need to take a look at the Rampart case itself and some of the decisions Judge Robert Perry made in it to really get a better understanding of who this particular judge is. But he's just an aspect of this racist criminal justice system we're dealing with. Our very first day in court, Judge Robert Perry told us that if we did not make the crowd go away, he would make our case last 5, 7 to 10 years. He said that the very first day. In the middle of the trial,
Mr. Johnson, yes. Now you know, tell me something. Was there a court stenographer in the room when he said that?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
So Mr. Johnson, you're saying that is actually on the record?
Well, I'm going to be that should be on the record, but here's how he plays this out, and we have to really understand this. Some things are said off the record. He has things taken off the record when he talked to the attorneys considering some issue in the courtroom that's going on with the case. Those are not recorded. And as far as when he tells the stenographer to turn off the evidence, then those are not recorded. If I remember correctly, the 5, 7, 10 year statement is on record. The middle part of the trial, the defense attorney, Michael Raines, made the exhibit that showed how the bullet went through Oscar Grant's back, killing him, the exact exhibit. He named that KKK. Now, that is in record also.
Wait, hold on. He made that exhibit KKK?
That's correct. So just hear me out for a second. So the defense attorney, Michael Raines, had the silhouette of where the bullet went through Oscar's back as evidence. And he wanted to enter it into evidence, and so he said that he wanted to make this KKK. Now, normally, evidence are entered in the chronological order or alphabetical order. This was totally out of sequence and out of order. But he asked the judge, could he name it KKK? Judge Robert Perry granted him that right to name it KKK. Every mass media news reporter in that courtroom put their head down out of fear in reporting that, because Judge Robert Perry had been admonishing the news reporters about different aspects of the trial that they were reporting. So, of course, that didn't go out in the news on the mass media level. But, of course, Tanjay Chamberinga and others that were, you know, local news reporters did report it. So I'm just making clear that in itself is also on record. That is the second incident. The last incident I wanted to just share was the last day in court. He had the mics turned off, or the recorder put down her stenography, and then stated, "My God, you keep saying that this is about black and white, but this is not about black and white. We just gave you a black president." Now, Judge Robert Perry stated that. Those are just three incidents. All throughout the whole trial, I can tell you that he wore though he had a black robe on, it was really a white robe as the KKK, because that's all he was behind that bench. Every piece of evidence that showed that Johannes Mesley shot Oscar intentionally was denied as evidence for the jury to see. Now, this takes me to this critical point when we talk about the whole judicial system. The whole judicial system is racist and it is corrupt. However, police officers are getting away with murder because there's a Peace Officer Bill of Rights that is in place. In the state of California, that Peace Officer's Bill of Rights has been padded with Penal Code 832.6 and 832.7, which basically states that any Right, which basically, well, you know what I'm saying, which basically states that anything in that officer's personal folder cannot be utilized as evidence in a criminal proceeding. So that means that if this officer, like Johannes Mesby, had a history of police brutality in his folder, the jury is not privy to that information. There's other officers that we know that have murders under their belt in their personal folders, and yet at the same time, the jury is not privy to that information. And this one piece of critical evidence we had for Johannes Mesley to be convicted of the intentional shooting of Oscar Grant was that there was a document that Johannes Mesley admitted that it was an intentional shooting and therefore signed that document stating that he thought that Oscar had a gun. His shooting was intentional. That was not allowed in as evidence in the hearing against Johannes Mesley for the murder of Oscar Grant. This is the type of racist criminal judicial system we're dealing with. Any evidence that will substantiate what the family victims say is not allowed in court when it comes to the history of that officer. That is a piece of legislation that we must get off the books. This peace officer's bill of rights, it
well,
hides
Mr.
them behind that legislation. Go ahead, Eddie.
Well, Mr. Johnson, can we work together for that same common cause? Can we get together soon and do a special show where you are our special guest and start working on gathering the people together and putting this into legislation and getting some change?
Oh, most definitely. I mean, this is critical and is extremely needed because even with video evidence, because of the Peace Officer's Bill of Rights, video evidence is just as weak as just non-video evidence. I just want to say this. We know that Johannes Mesley was the first officer in the state of California to ever be convicted, charged, arrested, and sentenced to jail for a murder of a black or brown man while on duty. Now, he didn't go to prison. He was sentenced to prison, but he didn't go to prison. Another travesty of this racist criminal justice system. The judge, Robert Perry, did sentence him to prison. However, he only stayed in jail and did 11 months.
Well, Mr. Johnson, I want to congratulate you on you and your family stand on top of this case, working to make sure that the judicial system recognized that there was something done wrong. The second thing I want to commend you on is I want to commend you for coming on the show and sharing this very pertinent and important information to all the listeners out there, because education and knowledge is power. And now people can see, and not only hear, but they can see what you had to go through. And you're so right about the Officer's Bill of Rights with the Penal Code 832.7 and 0.6. And we will work as a team and as a unit and make some change here, because we could talk about it all day, right, Mr. Johnson? But we got action speaks louder than words, right?
That is so correct. And so we have to get really busy. Everybody has to wake up. I mean, today is really a new day for change to come. And if we don't wake up, I mean, back between, let me say this, between, I believe it was 1882 and 1930, there were 2,500 lynchings, basically, on record. That meant that there was a lynching that took place every 4 days. If we take a look at what's happening today when it comes to police murders, just in 2012, 585 men were killed by police officers, 313 were black. The Malcolm X Grassroots Report broke that down to let us see that every 28 hours, a black man, black female, or black child will be killed by a police officer somewhere in the United States. We're talking about more dying today at the hands of police than it was through white lynch mobs during the days, of course, right after slavery, the emancipation, and all the way up until 1930. I mean, we could, you know, people just need to go take a look at history in itself. I mean, these are realities and facts that I'm speaking about, you know, and these are the issues that we have to really come to pay attention to. As Michelle Alexander said in her book, in the New Jim Crow, Mass Incarceration in a Time of Colorblindness, There are more men today locked up in prison than there were in the last days of slavery. No, these are just facts. So we're dealing with the system by design that is working the way it's been working and supposed to work when it comes to totally taking away our freedom, justice, and rights.
Well, Mr. Johnson, I want to thank you very much for chiming in and for sharing that very wonderful, intelligent, pertinent information. When I say wonderful, I mean wonderful in educating people on and getting them knowledgeable of what exactly you were talking about. First of all, again, my deepest condolences for your nephew, Oscar Grant, and I've had the pleasure to meet with you on more than one occasion. You're a very intelligent, well-spoken individual, very knowledgeable of what you're talking about, and you can tell that you have done your homework. I look forward, I wrote your number down. I look forward to talking to you, and maybe sometime after the show today, I'll give you a call real soon, and let's get together and chop it up. How about that?
Sounds good, and thank you for allowing me to share those words on your show today.
Okay, Mr. Johnson, thank you so much, and have a wonderful, wonderful day.
You too. Thanks. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. We are on the Eddie Jones Talk Show, and I'm just going to take a pause for the calls, and I just want you to just listen to a little something right here while I'm taking a pause for the calls and getting ready for our next caller. You're on the Eddie Jones Talk Show. Call in. If you have a loved one that's been shot or killed by the police department and it's been done wrong, if you have an opinion that you want to voice, if you want to ask a question, call on in. You're on the Eddie Jones Talk Show. I'll be right back. We are back on the Eddie Jones Talk Show on Blog Talk Radio, Faces of Success. And I just want to say it's been a very, very hot show this morning. This, of course, is my first show, and I've been off the radio for a little while, and I'm back on. And I'm really happy to be back on the air, and I want to give a big shout-out to Pearl, Miss Pearl. She's a wonderful, wonderful lady. And I also want to give a shout-out to my buddy, Greg Hanley. And if you can hear me out there, Greg, give me a call, man. Give me a call. I know you called in earlier. Some kind of way we missed your call, but call us back if you're out there. I just want to go over a couple of things with you guys. This police brutality has gotten out of hand. As you heard some of the history that was shared and from Mr. Cephas Johnson, who said that in 2012, over 500 people were killed by police officers. That's a lot of people, okay? I want to give a shout-out to Mr. Alan Devalina and his family. Mr. Alan Devalina and his family, I'm going to give a shout-out. You know, his son, Corporal Alan A.J. Devalina II, was shot and killed by the Palm Springs Police Department when he came home on a leave from the Marines. He was a Marine. He was a soldier serving our country. The two officers are named Mike Heron and Chad Nordman. And just in case you happen to go to Palm Springs and you just happen to run into those officers, please be careful because they both have murder on their hands. Okay? That's wrong, wrong, wrong. I also want to, excuse me, I just want to say to Marlene Pinnock and her family, I am so sorry about that beating that she received on that 10 freeway on July the 1st of 2014, you know, and I heard that there's a federal lawsuit going on right now, so I'm really happy for that. If she was homeless, by the time they get finished, she won't be homeless anymore. So, hey, it is what it is. Woodrow Player Jr., which I worked on that case, which a young African-American male who was chased down by the sheriff's department, shot in the back several times. They claim that he had a gun that they never found. They never found the gun. So what I'm saying here is that, when do we get together as a people? And it doesn't matter what color you are, what your ethnicity is, what your background is. I mean, we just need to all come together, and we need to march on down there to Washington, D.C., and do just what Mr. Cephas Johnson said, just what Bruce said, just what Ms. Jones said. And I want to thank you, Ms. Jones, for calling in. If you're out there, I know you're out there. Thank you so much. I want to thank Basic from Head High Entertainment. I want to thank you for calling in. I want to also thank Mr. White for calling in and chiming in on his feelings about how we can deal with this, because there's so many different ways we can deal with this. And if you have any ideas on how to deal with this system and how to change this system and how to make it better than it is already, please call on in to the Eddie Jones Talk Show and let your voice be heard. I just can't stop talking about this. I keep going over it because it's so important for us to realize that this man was standing on the street. They made an accusation because, remember, you're not a suspect. You are a subject until they put those handcuffs on you and read you your rights. When they read you your Miranda rights, then you're still not a suspect until you go into jail and see a judge, and then you have to go before the judge, and then the judge is the one that has to find you guilty to make you a suspect. You're not. You're a subject, not a suspect. You're innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. That doesn't give the police officer the right to do anything to you. He's supposed to detain you and handcuff you, read you your rights, take you to jail if you've broken the law, and then you have to wait to see the judge. That is the law, okay? There shouldn't be any laws. There is no law that says it's okay to take out your gun and shoot a person in the back. There is no law that says it's okay to shoot a person for no reason. So I'm saying that, yes, there are some good police officers out there. Yes, there are. Yes, there are some good police officers out there. But, yes, there are some bad police officers out there that are doing what they call police brutality. I remember the young man that was slammed on the car. You know, they arrested him. It was all over the news. And the officer got mad for some reason and just picked the young man up and slammed him on the car and busted his lip and who knows what else happened to him. For what? That's police brutality. That's police brutality. So, again, my heart goes out to Cesar Cruz, who was shot and killed by the police. My heart goes out to Michael Nida II, who was shot and killed by the police on 10/22/2011. And my heart goes out to Ignacio Ochoa, who was shot and killed by the police, police brutality. That's what's going on. And we're going to stop it. We're going to work as a team to stop it. We're going to stop it. So one way or the other. And just like the beating that happened in Fullerton, not acceptable. So how do we do this? You know, let's talk about that for a minute. First of all, every police department has meetings. You can go to the police officer meetings. And yes, you can. LAPD has a meeting every Monday down at their headquarters. You can go in there. And then they have 2 minutes or 3 minutes where you can make a remark. You can fill out a speaker's card, and you can actually speak. When I worked with Mr. Alan A.J. Develina, when I worked with Alan Develina, his father, of course, working with him on the case, I've taken him to the city council meeting, and we spoke out there. It's on record. These things need to be put on record. We need to pursue letting them know that this is not just going to get swept up under the rug. We're not just going to let this thing go to bed. We're going to keep this alive. We're going to keep it on the radio. We're going to keep it on the news. We're going to keep it in the newspaper. We're going to talk to the mayor. We're going to talk to city council. We're going to talk to the county board of supervisors. We're going to talk to the district attorney. We're going to talk to whoever, the attorney general, and we're going to go all the way up to the president. Because change doesn't come if we don't make change. And either we're going to stand up for something or we're going to fall for everything. And I feel like this, no justice, no peace, and no crooked police. We don't want that, okay? So that's where I'm at on that. So I'm having a good time here. This is my first show, and I'm really enjoying the show. And let me just share some of the upcoming shows that we're going to be talking about. I'm working on getting a famous comedian's son. I'm not going to say the name, but I'm working on getting a famous comedian's son on the air. I'm working on getting some attorneys, criminal attorneys on here to talk about the law. I'm working on getting a show about trafficking, you know, sex trafficking. We're going to be talking about that. We're going to be talking about illegal immigration. I hear some people say that legal is legal and illegal is illegal, and I want people to call in and talk about it when we have that show. It's very important. So we'll also have a show about our president, President Barack Obama, who I feel is doing a wonderful job, an excellent job, and if they would just sign some bills and let him do what he does and put some things in the legislation, I guess he could get his job done more. But when you have people trying to block you from doing what you're supposed to do, you can't do all that you can do. And what a lot of people don't understand is the president's position is controlled by other people like the Rockefellers and the Goodyears and the Gettys and the DuPonts and the Rothschilds and all these other rich multi-gazillionaire families who helped to control the United States of America, not excluding the Queen of England. So is the president really able to do his job? Yes, he is. But to a degree, he's still controlled by the powers that be. So that's going to be one of our shows. And then we're going to talk about gang. You know, I've got to have a show about gangs and shootings with gangs because, you know, I still have so many mothers and fathers and parents that call, and they want to talk about their children that have been shot and killed by gang activity. I just want to just touch on this just for a moment. We need to really abolish and get rid of gang activity, killing each other, killing our kids, killing off the future. And when I say that, it don't matter what color you are. It don't matter what nationality you are. No matter what race or religion, creed or color you are, gang activity affects everybody. It affects everybody. It doesn't matter where you live. Gangs are everywhere. So that's going to be a hot topic for us to talk about. And we're going to talk about, you know, have the mothers call in. I just had a mother. I want to say hello to Miss Tammy Simpson, whose son was who lost his life to some sort of unfortunate thing that happened to him, which I don't want to elaborate on right now. But they're going to have a big rally out in Texas, Dallas, Texas, at some point where I will be going down there speaking for the family. And for those who don't know, I do travel all over the United States working on different civil rights issues and advocating for families all over. I've been to Kansas City. I've been to Vegas. I've been to Texas. I've been in New York. I've been to Chicago. I've been to Detroit. And it's the same story all across the map. We, as a people, need to all get together and make change. And the only way we're going to do that is that strength runs in numbers. So we have to have great numbers. We need to get everybody involved. And, you know, when you work together for a common cause, the last thing you need is infighting amongst the people who are trying to make the change. We don't need that. So if you come in with a personal agenda, you know, let everybody know, you know, that you're there for your own personal agenda. But if you want to work as a team, and to me that's the only kind of work that really happens is teamwork. There's no work like teamwork. We need all the mothers. We need all the fathers. We need the young people's opinion, too. you know. So let's work together for a common cause, and that's to make change with the gang violence that's sweeping across the United States of America. And let's see if we can work together to bring peace and closure and stop the killing and stop the violence. That's so very important. But our topic for today is police brutality. Police brutality. If you know anybody that's been affected by this, please feel free to call in. Please feel free to call in and shout out what you want to talk about as far as brutality is concerned. I'm going to take a short pause for the cause. I will be back in a minute. But meanwhile, I just want you to listen to this and enjoy this wonderful talk show, the Eddie Jones Talk Show. Topic, police brutality. Hello? Caller,
yes,
are you there?
My name is Hurricane the Poet.
I'm sorry, say your name again, sir.
Hurricane the Poet.
How are you? How are you today? Welcome to the show.
I'm doing really, really good. I'm doing really, really good. Is this Ron?
Yes, this is live.
Okay. Ms. Pearl told me to call in. I heard the topics about police brutality.
Yes.
Okay, I'd like to touch on that a little bit. So whenever you get some time, you can cut to me.
Oh no, you go right ahead and go ahead and elaborate on what you would like to talk about as far as police brutality is concerned. Go right ahead.
Well, I think it's really important that we realize that we do have power and we get together and bring police up on charges, and any of the officers that was with the police that actually did the initial injuries or murders. Anytime you're with somebody and they commit a murder, you're actually charged with that murder, and I think that it's about time that that's applied to the police and the police department, because they're implicit in the act when they don't stop the officer that they see choking somebody, like in the case of Eric Gardner, the New York man who was killed by several different police officers. They didn't tase him. They didn't mace him. They took it upon themselves to take it as a challenge, I guess, and take this big man down and choke him and kill this man. When you could hear the tape, he was saying, "I didn't do anything." Everybody around said, "I didn't do anything," and they just killed him in broad daylight. He was saying, "I can't breathe." They never gave him CPR. They never gave him mouth-to-mouth. One of the officers took his pulse even before the EMT got there and said he's gone. And then they proceeded, in my opinion, to act like they were giving him some help when they knew he was already dead. So what I believe it's time for is for us to get together and to bring the police up on charges of murder, and that will stem the tide of this police brutality, because you can't let anybody get away with such things. We don't let the youth, we don't let gang members, we don't let people on the street get away with murder. Why should we let the police get away with cold-blooded murder?
I agree with you, Hurricane. I agree. So are you willing to work together and work with us to for that common cause?
Most definitely. Most definitely.
So you said you're a poet?
Yes, I am.
Do you have any poetry about police brutality that doesn't have any foul language?
Man,
you know, I hadn't asked you that.
It's home of the click, click, clack, and run. But I'm here to tell you, there's some that don't do it. They don't even believe in a gun. But the whole family's paid pretty high on them few some. This is a place where the support system gets weary, being cheery so hard to do. And the blessings get collected every morning for the tough night our kids made it through. We tell our children, don't have me worried about you, so do your calls. Then we hear about due process. We get told it'll come in due season while we watch our folks do time. Get ready for the unforgotten loved one. Someone put in my rhyme, and I'm still fine, but I'm waiting on time to change. Strange behavior, our savior, on double time coming by this way. And if you do, poor you get tested every day. What a way to grow up. Gang signs you better not throw up. Stretching a buck so far from luck with backflips to turn. We're making it out somehow, some way, every day is our only concern. A place where you can't burn enough trees to put at ease the guilt you feel from living when you've seen so much death. You got shadows on your back because the government, cops, and statistics, they watch your every step. Cold thing is, if Trayvon Martin was a gang member, he could have shot Zimmerman dead in the head. And Oscar Grant was just a good trying dad that told his daughter he'd take her to Chuck E. Cheese the very next day before the very last time he tucked her in the bed. So what I'm saying is, no more martyrs on our watch. No more killings of the ones that look just like you. No more just marches. No more just funeral processions. No more just what we gonna do. No more not taking control of the land that houses the government that truly belongs to you. Grandma Dynamite said, Fair Fufu was a fool, but even he stood strong and knew. There's a time for everything up under the sun. And this time, my people, this time truly belongs to you.
Wow. Hurricane, I think you dropped a hurricane just now. That was fabulous, man. How long did it take you to write that poem?
You know what? Sometimes they come really, really quickly. Most of the time they come complete. So maybe about, that one was probably about an hour, maybe a little bit more.
And so do you perform your poetry anywhere? I mean, do you speak out about police brutality in other places? I know we're having you as a guest on the radio right now, but do you speak in other places about police brutality?
Yes, I was just at the Circle of Healing a couple months ago that was at the Capitol. Usually on Wednesdays, I'm at Queen Sheba Restaurant in Sacramento, California. I've performed at Sessimani's in Oakland. Sundays, I'm usually at Penny for Your Thoughts, which is on Broadway and 21st Avenue. You can catch me anywhere. I am on Amazon.com. I have a book out called Poetry for the People. I'm also on Facebook, Hurricane D.A., Poet, P-O-E-T. You can catch me pretty much in the streets. Weekends, there is a movement and a community center that was given to stop gang violence on Mack Road and Center Parkway. I will start this weekend, Saturdays, and maybe Fridays and Saturdays. I'm just going to try and teach a class on art up there. I also paint. I have several of my pictures in the Brick House. The closing reception is July 31st from 6 to 9. So if you can make it, I have plenty of pictures about police brutality, plenty of pictures about uplifting our souls, reminding us who we are. Remember, the image is power. Your thoughts are power. Your deeds are power. Your actions are power. Continue to use that for the youth, for your loved ones, and we can make a change in this world.
Well, Hurricane, I want to thank you so much for coming on to the Eddie Jones Talk Show. And again, you came on, you lit it on fire, you shared some very pertinent information, and you also shared a great poem, and I want to thank you very much.
I will get your contact information from Ms. Pearl, and I will make sure that we get in contact so we can make it happen.
Yes, yes, we will, and yes, we can, and I look forward to that, okay, Brother Hurricane?
All right, thank you, and you have a great show. You keep it up. Love the music.
Thank you, man. God bless you, man. Peace.
All right, peace.
Caller, are you there? You're on live.
Yes, hello. Good morning, Eddie Jones. This is LaPortia Larson. How are you doing today?
LaPortia, how are you? How's everything going?
Everything is good. I'm calling to thank you for... Hello?
No, go right ahead, Portia. You're live on the air.
Yes, I was just calling to thank you for everything that you did for my family, for helping my little brother, John Thomas Larson, get justice for getting killed in the Manchester jail. And I want to thank you for doing everything in your power to help me and my family. And I'm just calling to just thank you for everything. You know, we love you and support everything that you're doing for everybody.
Oh, poor Joe. I love you guys, too. And I love what you're doing, too. And maybe, you know, could you tell people about the song that you guys did for your brother? The one that's on iTunes is going to be coming out on your CD, right?
Yes. Well, I'm an artist off of Head High Entertainment. It's run by my mother, Helen Jones. And me and Basic is two artists off Head High. And we just did a song to let everybody know that, you know, the police took my brother and, you know, everything they did to him. And, like, you can check it out on YouTube and look at it.
Well, that's beautiful. And so you're working on an entire CD. Are you still working on the CD? Are you finished with it, or where are you at as far as that's concerned?
Oh, yes. Like, I'm still working on it. I have, like, 10 more songs to finish, you know, and then everything will be done.
And may I ask, Portia, how do you feel about police brutality, especially what happened to your brother, John Thomas Horton III? How do you feel about that? And what would you like to see change in the police department as far as police brutality is concerned?
I think it's wrong for them to be beating on inmates when they're supposed to be watching and supervising them. And I think that everybody needs to get together and, you know, and stand up to them and let them know that what they're doing is wrong. You know, yes, they are inmates, and yes, they probably did something they weren't supposed to do, but by them being locked up in jail, they are already, you know, getting the punishment. You know, I don't think that beating them and treating them and, you know, doing things that they're not supposed to be doing to them, I don't think that's right. Even though they are in jail, you know, and everybody just needs to get together and really just needs to stand up to them and let them know that, you know, these are our brothers, these are our fathers, these are our uncles, you know, and, you know, they do have families that do care about them, and regardless of what they think of them, they don't have no right to treat them like that.
Well, let me ask you a question. When we go, and we will go to Washington, D.C., when we go, will you come with us?
Oh, yes. I'm going to come, me, all my friends, my family. We're going to be ready.
Because we're going to fight for a common cause, and the cause is to get justice in the wrongful death of so many young men and women across the United States at the hands of police brutality, and we just want to see that get changed. We want to see some things go into legislation. We want to make sure that the President of the United States of America can actually stand before some microphones and talk about what can be done to change policies and procedures within the police departments across the United States. Like, you know, did you see what happened to the guy in New York?
No, I didn't hear about that.
Well, yeah, you can. Well, his name is Eric Garner, and he was choked to death by the New York Police Department in Staten Island, New York. They did that because they said he was selling cigarettes on the streets. And so the reason why I keep talking about that on the show today is because, it, to me, it's a hot topic. He was a father of he had two daughters and a son and a wife, and now he's dead because he allegedly was selling cigarettes, and they choked him out, and the chokehold has been banned since 1980s or something, or 1990s. So,
yeah.
And then I don't know if you heard our caller, Cephas Johnson. His son was Oscar Grant, the one that they did the movie about called Fruitvale Station. He was the one that was handcuffed and shot in the back.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just I could just name so many of these shootings by police officers. And like I said, you know, I'm not saying that all police officers are bad, but I'm saying the ones that do these type of crimes, and I call it a crime, that they kill innocent people for no reason or choke them out or beat them up or for no reason, and then they end up dead. That's to me, that's against the law, and that's police brutality.
It really is. It's not right. You know, like, I miss my little brother so much. I think about him every day. And, like, right now, I even want to cry, but I'm not, you know.
It's okay, Portia. And, you know, you almost have me in tears over here. And I just want you to know that, you know, and I'm just going to take this time out to say that God is with you and your family. And you guys are getting justice, and you've already won most of the case, and now you're going to go back one more time, and it's gone all the way up to the Supreme Court. So we serve a mighty God. And just the tears that you're sharing right there, imagine how many families across the United States are sharing those same tears right now, because I'm sure that they can hear your tears, your crying. I'm emotional hearing you get emotional, knowing the pain that it causes when you miss your loved one. I just don't know what to say except for I love you, I support you and your family. God bless you guys, and I will be
Thank
with you.
You
guys until the very end.
Thank you, Eddie Jones. Thank you for everything. Thank you.
And thank you, Portia, for calling in, and I hope you have a wonderful day. And, Portia, let me share something with you. I know it hurts, but don't you let the judicial system and the police brutality steal your joy, all right?
Yes, I won't.
All right, you keep your head up, and the best is yet to come, okay?
God bless you, everybody.
Thank you, and God bless you too, Portia. Have a wonderful, wonderful day, okay? All right, bye-bye. Wow, you guys heard that live on the radio. There, you can't make that up. You know what I mean? You can't make up losing a loved one like that. You just, it hurts. And that's what this show is all about, you know, calling in and airing out your feelings. People are hurting because they lost their loved ones the way that they did. I mean, who wants to get that phone call at 3 o'clock in the morning? Who wants to get the phone call at all, period? That your loved one has been shot and killed, and then to come out to find out that it's foul play, you know, it's just unbelievable. It's just ridiculous. But let me tell you something. There's something that we all can do. We can stand for something. We can stand for justice. We can fight for justice. We can continue to understand that we have a civil right, a constitutional right, and a human right to exercise our rights. We have the right to the pursuit of happiness. We have the right to live and be joyful. We have the right to protect ourselves. We have a right to gather and have meetings in public places. We have the right to talk about this. We have the right to discuss this. We have a right to have town hall meetings. You know, if you want to reach out to me, my email is Eddie, E-D-D-I-E, Justice, J-U-S-T-I-C-E, Jones, J-O-N-E-S, @gmail.com. Please email me your ideas. Please email me if you really want to do something and you really want to make some change. Again, it's eddiejusticejones@gmail.com. I want to give a special shout out to all my friends from Susan Miller Dorsey High School, that have been supporting me over the years. A lot of people don't know, over at Dorsey, there was a young kid who was hit and killed by a car there, and it needed to be a streetlight there. So, you know, I fought and got, and we went out and got a petition and had a bunch of signatures from the tennis club at Rancho and from the teachers and the faculty at Dorsey High School. And now right there where that kid was hit, there's a $100,000 streetlight there called the DeMarie Grant Crosswalk. And we fought for that streetlight to be put there, and now it's there. So anytime a kid is crossing the street going to the park now, there's a light there. And that's what this is all about. You got to stand up for what you believe in. You have to fight for what you believe in, and you got to put your whole heart into it. You got to put everything into it. Look, we're going to take a short pause. I'm going to take a pause for the cause. I'll be right back with some closing remarks. You know, we have 14 minutes left into the show. So if you want to call in, we have 14 minutes left. If you have an opinion or if you want to share something or you have a family member that was lost by police brutality, we have a few more minutes left. But meanwhile, just listen to this, and I'll be right back.
Hey, Jesse, today you say what you mean, just kidding. Then you forget everything. Stock market going up, jobs going down. It ain't no fucking job, but it's fine. Hey, keep going up. Hey, from my bed. Now I drink from my bed, because it ain't bad.
Jones Talk Show, the Eddie Jones Talk Show on Faces of Success Radio. I want to let you know that this has been a very enjoyable show. I've really enjoyed myself. I want to thank all of the callers that called in. I want to thank Hurricane for the poem that he shared with us. I want to thank Mr. White for calling in. I want to thank Portia, Ms. Jones, Joan Mullen, you know, everybody that called in. Mostly, I want to thank Cephas Johnson for sharing all that information that he shared about what happened with his nephew and the court case. And that's really something, how you can be in the court and they're doing something wrong and you know it's wrong, and now you have the judge in there on the wrong side of what he's supposed to be doing of the law. That's why we, the people, need to change the judicial system. And the only way we're going to be able to change the judicial system is if we, the people, fight for a common cause. We have to be on the same page. We can't be against one another. We have to stick together. We have to talk with each other, communicate. We have to share. We have to advocate for each other and give each other strength. And we have to support each other. I want you to know that when Portia broke down crying, it touched my heart. I was sitting here in tears, live on the radio. I'm a human being. And this is why I do what I do, because it affects me in a way where it just makes me want to do something about it. And, you know, like I always say, no justice, no peace, and no crooked police. We're either going to stand up for something or we're going to fall for everything. And we the people have the authority. We the people, we have the power. We the people can stand up for what we believe in. And don't just talk about it, but really be about it, okay? Really be about it. So I was telling you about some of our upcoming shows in the future. We're going to see, we definitely got to do a show on Michael Jackson because his birthday's coming up, and, you know, we have to do a show about Michael Jackson and the life of Michael Jackson, and have all the Jackson fans call in and share how much they love Michael Jackson, and we'll play some Michael Jackson music. Who knows? Maybe we might be able to get one of the Jacksons on. I'm not going to say, but if we do, it'll be great, and I'm sure you're going to love it. And eventually, I would like to get on Sherry Gordy and talk about her show. Sherry Gordy is the daughter of the famous Berry Gordy of Motown Records, so perhaps we might be able to get her on and talk about her show and what she does. And so many of my other friends, I want to give a shout-out to Grady Harrell, and I can't think of everybody's name, but y'all know I love you all, no matter where you are and what you're doing. And, well, of course, we're going to do a show about comedy. We're going to have some comedians on to talk to, you know, we can't do everything about, we're going to have some good stuff on, too. You know, this is good stuff, too, but this is good stuff to make change for justice. We're going to have some good stuff on where we can make some people laugh and have a good time and forget about some of these troubles sometimes. And then we're going to do a show on medical marijuana, which is a really hot topic, medical marijuana. So I don't know which Monday we'll do that, but you'll know in advance. And then people can call in and tell us what they feel about the legalizing of medical marijuana and dispensaries and how you feel like it affects our society and how it affects our people and all that kind of stuff. So we'll talk about all kinds of things like that. And hopefully we'll get on a show again about some of the political stuff that's going on at the White House about our President Barack Obama. I love our president. I think he's doing a great job, and I love what he's doing. And so I want you to support me out there. You can reach me on Facebook at Eddie Jones Jr. on Facebook. Eddie Jones Jr. on Facebook. You can tweet me at The Real Eddie Jones on Twitter, The Real Eddie Jones on Twitter. And then I'm on Instagram, too, Eddie Jones Jr. on Instagram. You can look me up. I'm out there. And please share your opinions. Please call in. Please chime in. And, of course, my email address is eddiejusticejones@gmail.com. eddiejusticejones@gmail.com. And I want to thank Pearl. Ms. Pearl, you are wonderful, Ms. Pearl. I'm sure you're out there and you can hear the show. Thank you for supporting the show. Thank you for having the show. And, you know, Ms. Pearl, you are just doing big things. And so we want to continue to support Ms. Pearl and what she does. And, of course, I got to give a shout-out to my great friend Greg Hanley, who was promoting the show. He promotes a lot of the shows and lots of things for a lot of different people. Thank you, Greg Hanley, for what you're doing, man. It is so cool. Thank you. Here's some closing remarks for you. Remember that the only limit in life is the one that we put on ourselves. And so we should let there be no limits. And remember to give in, but never give up. Give in, but never give up. And remember, we serve a mighty God. We serve a mighty God. And so, you know, don't take matters in your own hands and try to change something, you know, by going out there doing something crazy. Remember that there's ways to do it. We can do it as a team. We can do it together as a people. All we have to do is communicate, share, talk, exchange numbers, Facebook each other. You know, we can communicate from wherever we are in the United States or around the world. It's not impossible anymore. So it's not impossible at all. So I'm just sharing a few little closing remarks that I'd like to talk about. I want to see something here. Oh, yeah, by the way, if you missed the show today, it's you can go to www.facesofsuccessradio.com, and you can look at the show again and listen to it again, okay? If you missed it today, you can go to www.facesofsuccessradio.com, and you can pull the show back up, the Eddie Jones Talk Show, the first one, my initial show. And I want to thank all the supporters out there for supporting me. And a lot of people, they think that doing civil rights work is easy. They see you on TV, and they think that it's all about TV. Well, let me tell you something. It's a whole lot more to it than just being on television. But what I like about being on television is it lets all the people out there know what's really going on. So I'm thankful to get on TV to do the press conference to be able to let the masses know that there's some corruption going on, that there's some brutality going on, that there's some injustice going on. So I thank God for every TV show that I'm on, every radio show that I'm on, every newspaper that I'm in, and every newspaper article that I'm able to share the word, and people can read about civil rights issues, constitutional rights issues, and human rights issues. If you want to reach out to me again, reach out to me at eddiejusticejones@gmail.com. eddiejusticejones@gmail.com. Yeah, that's right. That's where you can reach me. And then I am on Facebook. I am on Facebook at Eddie Jones Jr. on Facebook. And I'm on Twitter. And I'm on Instagram. Okay? So it's almost time to get out of here. I just want to leave some very powerful words with you. The police are here to do a job. Their job is to keep crime off the streets. Their job is to serve and to protect. The police officers are trained at a police academy to go out into the streets and to serve our communities. But we have to remember, never to forget, that police officers are paid by our tax-paying dollars. What does that mean? That means that we have the power and the authority to voice our opinion, and there should be some change. I have toured the Sheriff's Department. I've toured the LAPD. I've talked to the chiefs and the captains and the lieutenants. They know who I am. I know who they are. I make it known to them that we are the watchdogs over what's going on in our communities. It's so extremely important that we all get involved. Thank God for cell phones that can videotape and take pictures. From the Rodney King beating to the beating of Marlene Pinnock on the 10 freeway to the killing of Oscar Grant, Woodrow Player, Eric Garner, Ignacio Ochoa, Michael Nidus II, Taisha Miller, Eula Love, and I can't even name all the people that have been shot and killed by police officers. But we have the power. We have the authority. We have the voice. And we have each other. And like I said before, strength runs in numbers. And in great numbers, we can make great change. I don't know what date it's going to be, but as we begin to plan to march down in Washington, D.C. for legislation, for change, not just march. I'm talking about make a meeting, set up a meeting with the President of the United States of America. I'm talking about going all the way. If you're down, hit me on my email, eddiejusticejones@gmail.com. I want to thank you guys. I want to thank all the listeners. I want to say something to you. I love you all. I love you all. From the top of your head to the soles of your feet. All you say and do, may God bless you. Thank you for coming on to the Eddie Jones Talk Show, the debut of my new talk show. I'm so very happy to be back on the air. We're going to have a lot of great shows with a lot of great topics. And you, the listeners, will call in whenever you feel like it. And let your feelings be heard. If you have something going on in your life and you need to talk about it, call the Eddie Jones Talk Show. I want to thank you guys so much. so very much. Take care.
And I would choose to live my own way.